Okay, well, David is in Ellsworth. He's on the phone. Hello, David.
Hello there.
You have a question about droughts for John.
Yes. As there's not in our area, of course, just at the moment, but around in the world, there seems to be a lot of droughts. So is the world actually running out of water?
That's a good question, Dave. As we've seen down in the southern parts of Europe at the moment, right across Greece, Italy and Turkey, it's been incredibly hot weather, very dry weather, and it's caused all sorts of problems down there. But I think generally the Earth as a whole is a very closed system, and so the amount of water available doesn't actually change that much. It just goes through the water cycle and exists in various forms, so in the sea, and it just rains in different parts of the world. So I think the world as a whole, the budget probably works out to be staying pretty constant throughout.
So why don't we manage it better? We've got all these places without water and all these places with too much.
That's a very good question, but getting it to rain where you want it to is a very hard thing, and it's a very indirect science at the moment. So I think it's a case of where the rain is and where the water is isn't always where it's needed.
No, that's what I mean. You know, I mean, it's not rocket science to put a plastic pipe in the ground and pump water through. So why don't we do more of that? You know, we've got all these big deserts that we could make use of if we had water there.
Good question. But I think it would take an awful lot of water to start producing something more useful in the desert areas. So it's a case of, but it's an awful lot of politics more than anything else, and getting the water to the right places.
David, thank you very much. So, John, thank you for joining us to brush up on what's causing all this freaky weather. I guess the final question is that everyone's going to be wondering is, are we seeing a manifestation of global warming in driving this really freaky weather we've had here in the UK this month?
It's obviously it's one of those questions where you can never attribute one effect and one outcome to global warming itself. And actually, at the moment, the current suggestions are that summers should actually get a lot drier as we head through into the futures. The current predictions are to be true. So it is looking like things could be a lot more different in the future. But I think generally, at the moment, it is just a natural variability, and it's just a very unfortunate, very wet summer so far.
Thanks very much. That's John Law. He is from WeatherQuest, and I guess the outlook is bleak.
Sorting out the sparks from the quarks, the Naked Scientists.
Tis the Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris and Dr. Phil. It's our science phone-in show. If you'd like to ask us any questions, email chris@nakedscientists.com. Got an email here from Sasha Quadrelli, who's actually listening in Sao Paulo in Brazil. And he says, hey guys, great show. I listen to it avidly on your podcast every week. There's something to add to a point you made in your last programme, if I could be so bold. Someone was asking about the point of preheating an oven. Now, this was, I think, David in Northampton sent this question in. He said, why do we bother preheating an oven? Why don't you just sling the food in? It saves energy because then you're cooking the food from the minute the oven's turned on. Well, what Sasha says is there's little more to it. He says it's to do with the safe cooking of food, and you want to make sure the oven's nice and hot so that you can control make sure the food gets to the right temperature to kill all the bugs. But he says there's a bit more to it than that, according to the theory of my chef's training. This can be best described by means of an analogy. Imagine if you sat in a metal room while someone lit a fire under it. Not a pleasant prospect, but the room would heat up slowly and you would begin to sweat, and all the liquid in your body would be drawn out until you were completely dehydrated. Of course, by the end of it, you'd be long dead, and you certainly wouldn't be very tasty either. Now, imagine that you were sitting in a heat-proof room and someone lit a large fire outside the door. Then, imagine you left the room and stepped directly into the blazing inferno. You'd be instantly charbroiled, burnt on the outside, but all the liquid would be sealed inside your body, so you'd be cooked just a lot better than the first scenario, but you'd be much juicier and tastier. So the concept is the same for ovens. If you put, for example, a leg of lamb in a cold oven and turn it on, it will sweat out all its juices and you'll be left with something rather sad, resembling the sole of your shoe. Whereas if you preheat the oven, more of those juices will be locked inside, and this results in a much more edible meal. Of course, it won't be like the blazing inferno, but the effect will be closer to it than the cold oven. And that's sometimes why we fry meat in a very hot frying pan, preheated of course, before putting it in the oven, and that seals more of the juices in there. Pretty cool.
Very clever. Another quick question here for you, Chris.